A very good morning to you. Mary Fagan here with you this morning on Horizons. And my special guest is Sean Lines, looking at the musical soundtrack of his life. Sean Lines, thank you very much for joining me this morning on Horizons. We're going to look at the songs that mean a lot to you, are significant. Where do you begin, Sean?
I'd like to begin as far back as the Beatles. One of the first songs that greatly influenced me was the song Let It Be.
How so? How did it influence you?
Well, I grew up with the Beatles. Like, I was just hitting my teens when the Beatles were at their peak. So I was a huge fan. And their last album was Let It Be, 1970. It was written by Paul McCartney. Now, Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George Harrison, the three of them particularly had very strong Irish influences, Irish Catholic influences. And Paul McCartney, his grandparents were Irish, and his mother died of cancer when he was 14. So this song he wrote, Let It Be, Mother Mary Comes to Me, referring to his mother, bringing him comfort. And I felt there was an incredible profundity to that phrase, Let It Be, because as a teenager in the late 60s, you know, man, the world needed a changing man. So to hear somebody as influential as Paul McCartney giving us the advice, you know, just let it be, I found it great advice and very inspiring. He was interviewed just a couple of years ago, and he was asked, was it a religious song? Because a lot of the Beatles' later stuff became quite agnostic. And he said, well, it's up to the people. You know, whatever you take out of a song, if you find it's a religious song, if you refer to Mary as, you know, being the Virgin Mary, or you can refer to Mary as being, you know, somebody else of your, who influences you.
And for you, Sean, is it religious, or what way do you think when you hear that song?
I always found it very religious. I always found that there was a deep spirituality to it. You know, when somebody like Mother Mary or Blessed Mother, you know, comes to me speaking words of wisdom, let it be. When the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. I think there's great religiosity in that.
We'll play a little of the different songs you mentioned, Sean. And this version I have of it is from the Clonkeen Youth Group.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be.
Sean, that was lovely. Other significant times in your life, more music. This is all about music. What have you chosen next?
The next one I have is a song, Blue Bayou by Linda Ronstadt. Now, I love Linda Ronstadt's voice. I think there's an incredible melancholy to it. The song Blue Bayou, it has a funny memory in one way, but a very sad memory in another way. One of the most profound times in my life was a few years I spent living in Zambia. And I was sharing a house with a young Zambian man, Philip. And Philip absolutely loved music, but we were out in the middle of the jungle, so it was very difficult to get anything. We had an old record player, and he had one record, and that was Blue Bayou, which was played constantly till it wore out. But I had, for the time, a fairly good radio, so Philip used to love listening to it late into the night. He just loved music. He wanted to move out of the jungle into the city because he wanted to be more involved in the music scene. And he got a transfer to a city called Indola. And he wrote to me with great excitement that he had picked up a job as the music correspondent with the local paper. We were writing, and I went to visit him in Indola, And he was so, so happy.
Did he sing himself or play music?
He just loved the music.
Listening.
So I wrote to him when I was about to come back for a trip to Ireland and told him I'd bring him back something. And I brought back Thin Lizzy and Boomtown Rats. And I wrote and told him, and he said, man, get up here and get me those records. But a few months later, I heard that he had died. He had become a victim, one of the first victims of AIDS.
Oh.
And he never got to hear the records. I never got to deliver them to him.
How many years, Sean, again, did you spend in Zambia?
I was 3 years there.
But it had a big impact.
It had a huge impact. I was very, very, very good friends with one of the president's sons. And he, too, was one of the first victims of AIDS. And I wrote, this is after I came back, about 1988, I wrote to the president, Kenneth Kaunda, and I have a lovely letter at home, which Kenneth Kaunda wrote back to me. Beautiful letter written by a man who had a beautiful soul, Kenneth Kaunda, I have to say. So anytime I hear Linda Ronstadt, and especially Blue Bayou, because if you listen to the melancholy in this woman's voice and the purity in her voice, and it brings me back to myself and my mate Philip sitting around this record player. And just another brief story, when I was leaving Zambia, I had a bundle of the local currency, which wasn't really any good to me to bring anywhere. So there was a nun from Cork, a Sister Celine, who had been very kind to me. I gave 200 kwacha to the local priest to drop into Sister Celine. And
was that a lot?
It was a lot.
Shunshall change.
But I got a letter from Sister Celine months later. They had a nursing school 200 kilometres away from where I was. And she said that they were in a dire state in the nursing school because their record player had broken. And the nurses really missed the opportunity to dance. So when the priest arrived with this money, they were able to buy a new record player.
Oh, that's
and it
lovely.
Made such a difference. Mm. So, you know, this song brings back an awful lot of memories.
Let's have a listen.
I feel so bad, I got a worried mind. I'm so lonesome all the time. Since I left my baby behind on Blue Bayou. Saving nickels, saving dimes. Working till the sun don't shine. Looking forward to happier times on Blue Bayou.
Sean Lines, and we're looking at the music and important pieces of music all down through the years for you. Where are you taking us to next, Sean?
Around the same time, when I was in Africa, the Stardust tragedy happened. And I was teaching in Coolock, just a couple of miles away from where the tragedy occurred. And a lot of the names that were mentioned rang bells for me when I eventually saw them. And I'd heard of this. As I said, I was in Africa, so I heard about it on the BBC World News. But last year in Listowel, there was a celebration for Brendan Kennelly, sponsored by the NEWKD, and I was asked to MC it. And that day in the Irish Times, the court case had finished, the tribunal, and there were pictures of all the young people who had died. And one of them, I recognised him. His brother was in the first class that I ever taught in Coolock. And one of the first poems I ever taught to the class was a Brendan Kennelly poem. So it was such a strange confluence, you know, that I'd seen the lad's name. And there we were celebrating Brendan Kennelly. And it's the power of somebody like Brendan Kennelly, Brian McMahon, John B., whomever, you know, that their words, 50 years on, it can strike a chord. I often use the phrase, Brian McMahon's phrase, you know, the opportunity of a teacher to open the windows of wonder. And I used to always try that with the students, no matter where I was, I'll always bring poetry into the lesson.
It's a lovely gift. And I'd say people listening will remember where they were when they heard about the Stardust disaster. Believe it or not, I was in Kerry, I was in Kinmare, I was in the hotel there. We were on a geography field trip coming down from Maynooth College, and it was shocking and horrifying.
I think it was a national trauma, and I think Christy Moore's title, They Never Came Home, like, that sums it all up, doesn't it?
Well done to Christy Moore. Let's have a listen.
St. Valentine's Day comes around once a year. Her thoughts turn to love as the time it draws near. When sweethearts and darlings, husbands and wives, pledge love and devotion for the rest of their lives. As the day turns to evening, soon night time does fall. Young people get ready for the Valentine's ball. As the night rings with laughter, some families still mourn the 48 children who never came home. Have we forgotten the suffering and pain, the survivors and the victims of the fire in our train? The mothers and fathers forever to mourn the 48 children who never came home. And 'twas down to the Stardust they all made their way. The bouncers looked on as they lined up to pay. The records were spinning, there was dancing as well. Just how the fire started, sure no one can tell. In a matter of seconds, confusion did reign. The room was in darkness, fire exits were chained. The firefighters wept, for they could not hide their sorrow and anger for those left inside. Have we forgotten the suffering and pain, the survivors and the victims of the fire in our town?
Sean, where do we go next? You've had a long and interesting life and it's not over yet. But the music side of it.
Well, now, I've been very, very privileged and very fortunate in that I've had the opportunity to work and live in many places around the world. But there's one place that'll always be home, and that's Mayo. It's something I think Mayo people and Kerry people more than anybody else share, is this incredible sense of place. You know, if you're from Kerry, you know you're from Kerry. I'm from Mayo. I know I'm from Mayo. And I just love the place. And I love going back there. And whenever I hear the Saw Doctors, the green and red of Mayo, it just brings out the Mayo man in me.
Absolutely lovely. I don't know how many minutes of this I listen to, Sean.
Ah, sure. We'll play it twice. We'll play this one twice. But can I say, we're recording this now in, you know, the Diocesan studio. And when I was teaching in primary school in Tralee, I think it was 2006, Mayo and Kerry met again with the predicted outcome. And I put a notice up on my classroom door on the Monday to say house private. And Father Dan O'Riordan, I was up here later that evening and Father Dan had heard about it, word had spread about house private.
That's terrible.
And you know, my great friend Paddy Prendergast, God rest him, I had the honour of delivering the eulogy at his funeral just across the road here. And Paddy referred to the time since the last Mayo, 1951, as his Via Dolorosa. We'll always live in hope, and Mayo will always, always, always be home. You know, like Kerry is beautiful, and yesterday I had the the great pleasure of driving down to Killorglin, down Carra Lake direction. And, you know, I love the legends, I love the stories, I love the people, I love the mountains, the lakes, everything about it. But a little bit more, I love the mountains, the lakes, the people of Mayo, just a smidgen, just a tad.
Let's have a listen to the Saw Doctors, they do it well.
Oh, the green and red Mayo, I can see it still. It's soft and craggy boglands, it's tall majestic hills, where the ocean kisses Ireland, the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me, stay forevermore, forevermore. From its rolling coastal waters, I can see Crowpatrick's Peak, where one Sunday every summer the pilgrims climbed a reek, where St. Patrick in its solitude looked down across Clubay, and with the ringing of his bell called the faithful there to pray.
I'm in conversation with Sean Lyons. We'll take a short break, come back to us after this break.